And I'm going to take tea and take a sip of it and spit it into each and every one of your mouths. Oh, it'll burn me, but it'll burn you twice. Burn me once with tea, shame on me. Burn you twice in your own mouth, shame on everybody involved.
TBTM. Guess what day it is? Guess what day it is?
Friday. Gotta get down on Friday.
You're singing that wrong.
How? I made it up.
They had been posting their stuff out on the internet, and apparently they'd been met with virtually nothing but ridicule.
Hey, Lloyd, do some delivery for the truck to the airport.
It's not great. It's fantastic. You totally undersold it. The pageantry, the costumes, wow.
I put my headphones on, and here we go. I'm so excited.
Me too, because it is time for a Friday morning edition of TBTL, the show that just might be too beautiful to live.
That's a terrific title. It jumps out at you like a rat in your underwear drawer.
My name is Luke Burbank. I'm your host.
Hello, everyone.
Coming to you this morning from the offices of Walsh, Walsh & Dormat in the Roosevelt neighborhood of Seattle, Washington. Here we are together again on the Imaginary Radio, arriving at episode 2,833. In a collector series, and we've got plenty to talk about as we round out the week.
Let the fun begin.
Including the story involving Delta and Coca-Cola. They had some napkins that were being distributed with your soft drink on the airline that encouraged you to write down your seat number and your telephone number and give it to someone who you might be sort of interested in on the flight.
Believe it or not, I'm a complete catch.
And regardless of if you fancy yourself to be a complete catch or not, other people on the plane were not loving this, and Delta has now apologized and pulled these napkins in question. We'll talk about that. Also, it's going to snow possibly more than a foot here in the Pacific Northwest.
Snow, and more snow, and you've got a really nasty mixture.
I journeyed up here this morning from Portland, and I will just say that I am very happy because I am the proud temporary owner of a Jeep Compass with four-wheel drive. I have a granola bar that I stole from the airplane as provisions in case I get trapped on the road driving home to Bellingham, Washington, the Bay City. I'm feeling safe and sound and in good shape. Meanwhile, there was a guy next to me at the rental car counter who was getting so close to blowing, and I just wanted to get away from him.
I'm as mad as hell, and I'm not going to take this anymore!
Before he completely... And he was in the right, for the record. So yes, this is the show where I will tell you other people's travel nightmares. Not even my own. But people I was... People say, Luke, did you have travel nightmares this morning? I said, no, but I sat next to a guy who was having them, and I studied him. And I will regale you with those stories coming up on the program. I'll also regale this fella. He is the longest-running co-host of the show, known for his drawings of tall ships. He is straight gas homie. He's also...
I'm an activist and house party enthusiast.
He's soon to be hunkering down here in the Roosevelt neighborhood of Seattle, Washington, but maybe venturing out to buy an iPad. We're not quite sure about it. He's Andrew Walsh, and he joins me from right across this table. Good morning, my friend.
Good morning. I want you to know, because you are here today in person, I am not straight gas homie. I took care of all of that. I just meditate and I make it go away when you're coming over to do the show.
Never been in a bathroom.
Exactly. Yeah, how you doing?
I'm good, although as I mentioned to you before the microphones turned on, as the introductory tape was playing, it just... like occurred to my body or ba'adi, as we might say on this program, that I'm operating on about 3.5 hours of sleep. It was just sort of unavoidable today because last night I did Livewire in Portland, and then there was a bit of sort of professional socializing. Well, I'll be honest with you. I went out and I got some tater tots with Nora McInerney because I wanted to just debrief and talk shop and hang out. And so then I got to the hotel room, and this is a pretty specific reference that, like, you'll find interesting, Andrew. But Nora and I, we recorded a chat yesterday, driving around Portland that I'm going to use in a week or two from now when you're in Hawaii and I am down in Joshua Tree. I'm going to put up some shows that have new interviews.
Could you call it Talkin' Tots with Nora and Luke?
Not legally, because tots are trademarked.
Oh, that's right. Orida.
Yeah, I could call it Talkin' Taters.
Talkin' Taters, that's not... Yeah.
Not the worst.
No, and it's not copyrighted. The lawyers can't get you for that one.
Anyway, I got back to the hotel room. I was so tired. I knew I had to turn around. I had a very early flight this morning, and I was nervous about all the weather stuff and, like, am I going to get trapped at the airport down there? But I became very consumed with this fear that I was going to lose the recording I had made of Nora and myself in the car.
Yes.
So it became imperative to me that I needed to upload it to the cloud.
Good.
I don't know when I decided I'm Edward Snowden.
No.
They're coming for me. But I created a folder to be very proud. I told you this is only interesting
yes,
to you.
I forgot about that disclaimer. It's correct.
Because you're like, wow, this is really working for me.
No, this is, like, you guys have no idea. Like, I am the type of, when you're done recording something, especially if it's something that you know you can't recreate easily, you're out in the field, you've been talking to people all day, or you do have an interview with somebody like Nora who's going to be on a plane the next day or something, like, this idea that you have this thing that you really need. Your life is a measurably worse place.
Yes.
If anything happens to it, and it only exists in one little place, you need to duplicate it as fast as possible.
And for no actual reason, I was rehearsing the conversation in my mind with Nora about how we didn't have the file. Have you ever done that?
I think so. I mean, my paranoid fantasies about losing tape know no bounds. Like, honestly. Back in the day when you'd literally do it on cassette tapes, I remember, like, I would quickly get back into my car and, like, listen to the tape right away and be like, how did it sound? But then I'd be like, but what if my car thing eats it, you know?
Right. Well, okay, let me take it even, let us burrow further into the favela of Esoterica Town. I then download the file, I drag the file off of the SD card, and I put it into GarageBand, and I play it, and Nora's not on the recording. Ooh. And I'm like, oh, you gotta be kidding me. And then I realized, oh,
this
no.
It's a GarageBand thing.
No, it's that it recorded on two tracks.
Yeah, yeah.
So one channel was me, one channel was Nora. So I had to go find the channel that was Nora, combine them.
Okay.
And there was three different files. So, in other words, I had to go.
Is this a little Zoom? You using that little junky Zoom? Sorry, listeners. You can, like, this just tune back in like 15 minutes. We'll be done with this. Are you still using that junky little Zoom?
Can I tell you? Junky little Zoom.
Why did I buy this junky little Zoom?
I'm going to have fun in this show in a sort of delirium, you know? This is growth for me, dude.
Okay.
I like how I just declare so many things to be growth. I declare so many just normal behaviors to be growth. But what happened was I went to Guitar Center the other day, and I literally purchased and brought home a, like, not cheap digital recorder. It was like a couple $100. Fancy, nice, new digital recorder, because the one that I have been using has given me issues in the past, and it's just, I've had it for a long time. And to be honest with you, what I really need to do was sit down with it and just kind of tweak some things and really refamiliarize myself with it. But that's
with your new device.
With the old one.
Oh, okay.
The only real problem with the old one was that it just, I had just sort of forgotten how to use it. It had given me a couple of problems which were solvable, which I had chosen to not really investigate. I just did what I typically do, which is declared it totaled in my mind. So I go and I buy this new recorder, and after tax, it's like $240 or something.
Mm-hmm.
And I had to buy a new microphone because Nora and I were going to be in the car. We each needed to have our own microphone. And I got home and I was like, before I take this thing out of the box, why don't I check out this funky little Zoom, Zoom. Well, why don't I, like, this digital recorder that I've used that has two inputs for microphones, why don't I just actually take a minute and just be with this recorder? And I did, and it turns out it works fine.
Really?
Oh, yeah.
Because I've used that thing before, and it's always seemed on the edge, but maybe it's just because of the way you had it set up.
You ready? You know what this is, me? This is knocking on the door of an even smaller shack inside of the favela of Esoterica. You know what the issue is? Line in is a problem.
I see. Okay, yeah, and that's...
But the XLR ins, yeah, it's happening.
Funky Little Radio Shack.
Enjoy it, everyone. Drink it in with your ears. This is the show today. Line in is the problem. That is weird.
That is
And
bad.
That's what
okay.
you've used historically.
Yep.
XLR in is fine.
Okay.
And so I realized this
Tin
will...
Tin roof. Balanced.
So I then... I went into the basement of Burbank Springs to where I keep kind of old audio cables and the like, and I have like a case for taking audio equipment around, and I opened it, and it was like the digital recorder graveyard.
Yeah,
and there were like three totally functional digital recorders that all were fine for line in recording. And I was like, I have plenty of stuff here. It just involves me taking a minute with it, not just throwing another dead recorder into that box or bag and declaring it, you know, sort of useless to me. So anyway, all of which is to say, I got the recording. I got it all put together.
Using your funky old Zoom.
Funky old
Zoom.
Your
new microphone.
And it worked great.
Worked great.
It
the other
totally
one's still
fun.
In the box. You're going to send that back?
I took it back.
You took it back?
Took
nice,
it back to
nice.
Guitar Center.
Okay, so now it's recorded you guys on two different channels, which makes sense. You've loaded it all in.
Put it all together, but then I wanted to get it in the cloud.
Mm-hmm, good.
It's like pulling on a thread because now it's on the computer. It's like no one's busting into the Jupiter Hotel in Portland to steal my laptop in the 3.5 hours I'll be sleeping. But what happened was I had created a folder for these shows, and it had all the other shows I've already recorded.
Right.
And I was like, this is where this goes now.
You're going home, buddy.
Go to your home. Go to your home.
You're going home. I'm sending you up into the cloud.
Go to your home, Luke and Nora conversation. So I did. All of that kept me up till like 1 in the morning, which is late for me under any circumstances. But
oh, that's right. This is a story about you being tired.
Yeah. Although, in an ironic turn, it has energized me to tell you the story.
It's energized me.
Yeah,
this is my wheelhouse.
Not so much the listeners, but you and me, and also my voice. Can you hear that? I've got a little bit of a frog in my throat.
Bit of
I feel
frog,
fine.
Yeah. You're coming into a sick house. I mean, we're all. I think
it's
Jen
a sick house.
See, we can do that in
time.
We'd
be delayed if
no
we were
delay. No. I think that everything has been sterilized. I've washed all the blankets a bunch. I mean, I don't know if you were planning on snuggling in the blankets later, but I think this house is germ free now. But I was really, as I mentioned on the show, really trying to avoid getting sick, because Genevieve was sick in a way that I hadn't seen her in a long time. Really got the actual flu.
Oh,
I think
no.
I told you, went to the doctor, was actually diagnosed, and she seemed miserable. And I was like, I know I'm going to get sick, and it's going to somehow be timed perfectly. I'm already worried about our vacation, which
I
is,
know.
What is, we leave a week from today, yet I'm already like, snowstorm's going to ruin it. My impending sickness is going to ruin it. But so far, knock on linoleum, I haven't caught her disease, so I don't think you will catch.
I feel fine. I think my voice, just a lot of talking last night.
Yeah.
And then a short amount of sleep, and then here I am talking again. And then later today going over to KUOW and doing the week in review, which this is, again, the producer of that show, one of the producers, who is also a listener to this show and a wonderful person and even a donor, Amina. I shouldn't say this because Amina will hear this, but I look at the topics they're doing and I think to myself, I have nothing to add.
Really?
They have a great panel on that show. It's called Week in Review. Bill, the host, is awesome.
Good friend.
The guests are great. They're informed. They bring insight and clarity to the issues. And then there's me.
Who are you with today? Do you know?
I don't know off the top of my head. But
Erica? I'm a big fan of Erica Barnett.
I just know that when I look at the stories, I'm like, where my mind goes is, well, at least I can maybe tag some of these. I'll tag like Erica or Joni's informed statements. I'll tag that with a little comedy styling.
Right, yeah.
Like that's all I have to offer to the wider world. I already know a joke that I'm going to make about the snow day, because like they understand intricately the policies. I don't. What I understand is
joking.
That's it. That's my thing. And I'm flattered and honored that they agree to have me on the show, but I just think like I don't think vitamin B has a lot to offer them on these topics, but I will absolutely give it my best shot.
If the snow, I mean, I know that this is not going to happen, but you know how sometimes you hope for technical problems just so that you can solve technical problems? No, you probably don't. But
that is not how my brain works,
If you have an issue getting over there, because let's say the snow starts falling like right now, and then you're like, how am I going to get the like 1.5 miles to KUOW? You could do it via ISDN from where you sit right now, my friend. I have the technology.
For some reason, that thought crossed my mind driving over here. And it's we had managed to pull ourselves out of Esoterica town, and now we are just turning. You know what? The Bible says, as a dog returns to his vomit, so we return.
The Bible's nasty sometimes.
It is nasty in there. Like, I think you and I, because coming from the olden days of radio, when if you wanted to have somebody on your radio show who was in a distant, far-flung place, but that you wanted them to sound like they were right where you are, it was a real production to get them into a studio, to get them hooked up to something called an ISDN box. You and I think both of us had the job of trying to get people to go to those places.
Yeah.
And so the fact that we have at our disposal that technology, it's like, I mean, I can't think of a good analogy. Like I said, I didn't get a lot of sleep, but it's like, it's almost like you and I both want me to do the show from here just because we can.
Do you? I don't think I even told you this when you were on. Gosh, I want to say you were on vacation. Maybe not, but during the holiday, yeah, it was. You were on vacation. I was doing a lot of work over at Cairo Radio, and so I was producing one of our pre-recorded TBTLs here, and then I was going to rush out the door and run to Cairo and do my live shift over there. But then I got a very rare call from the old show I used to work on in L.A., and they wanted me to hop on quickly. Barbara Bogave was filling in, who's a good friend of mine, and she had known that I had, like, disconnected my Facebook or whatever, and they were talking about that. It was during all the Facebook stuff. They're like, can you jump on and talk about that quickly? And, like, I was running late, and I was almost out there. And it was our buddy Nihar who was producing for her. So he actually texted me. He's like, can you hop on? And, like, I really shouldn't have done it time-wise, but because I could do it via ISDN at my desk, and I could just sit here and, like, look out my window and be like, yes, Barbara, aren't I pithy when I talk about the reasons I got rid of Facebook? I was like, how can I say no to this?
Yeah, I think for you and I, well, I can't speak for you, but for me, the idea of being able to host or at least be on a radio show from the comfort of my own home, and I'm not talking about this, the podcast, but the actual radio, like someone driving in Los Angeles can hear you, Andrew Walsh, and you're in full fidelity and you didn't have to move a muscle. That still blows my mind. And I would, like, I totally understand the impulse to want to fit it in just because you can.
And I know that I was a last minute pick for them. They clearly had a hole to fill because they were doing it right before the show went live. I was able to sit here at my desk, do the quick interview with Barbara. Then I went to the grocery store and then to grab some lunch. And then I got in the car, and on my way to Cairo, I listened to myself on the radio.
Ooh.
Oh, that's right, because I had to I streamed it via my phone. That's right, 'cause obviously we don't get KCRW up here. But it was quite an experience just to, like, have 1, 2, 3 quick turnover like that. It was just a technological miracle.
Well, I'm with you, and I will reach out to KUOW and ask them if I can do the show from 1.3 miles away from where they do. Although they did save me a parking space, which is very thoughtful.
Oh, that's nice,
them.
In the garage. Ooh.
And more on the story of my journey up here, and also I guess you could say somewhat uncertain future of driving north, because I'm listening to all this storm coverage, and it's basically like the snowstorm is moving through Bellingham and down to Seattle, and I am going from Seattle up to Bellingham later today at pretty much the worst time for this. And I have some real questions. Will the Taco Time in Burlington be open?
Doesn't FEMA use Taco Time?
The Taco Time Index.
Yeah, the Taco Time Index.
Indeed. So anyway, and also this guy next to me, honestly, I got out of there just in the nick of time today at SeaTac. So more on that coming up. First, though, we should take a short break, and then we'll be back with more TBTL. It's cuffing season.
Cuffing?
Are you familiar with this term?
No, I don't think.
Don't worry, it's not dirty.
It just rings a bell. I feel like we've gone down this road before.
Can we just hear a little more Huey Lewis news, and I'll explain cuffing season?
When I was a kid, I thought this was hilarious. The idea that you would say, happy to be stuck with you.
I love this song. I feel like it actually really holds up. Cuffing season is kind of the time of year when it it snows or is crazy cold and icy outside, and you and that special someone, or maybe a new someone that you're hoping to make that special someone, you sort of like, you handcuff yourselves to each other. You basically, you're sort of trapped indoors together in a possibly romantical situation. But I saw, it was a kind of a New York, like the Gawker universe and the world of, I guess you could say, the kind of New York writers of a certain age. Everyone was dropping this reference to cuffing season for the longest time, and I didn't know what it was. And I was like, wow, we're just right out there. We're just right out there with the BDSM or whatever
right,
that is.
Yeah.
And then I finally learned, no, it's about having like chicken noodle soup and watching like Netflix.
While harnessed.
Oh, yeah, absolutely. Ball gag, the whole nine. Right.
What was the thing on 30 Rock they talked about? Normaling? Remember
no.
Jenna and her boyfriend who was played by, I'm bad with names, not Bill Hader, The Last Man on Earth.
Oh, Will Forte.
Yeah. Because they're really like a kinky couple, but then their kink comes so far around that they're just normaling, and that's their kink. Just like acting like the most normal, like, let's stay in tonight and watch a movie.
That's great. Okay. Just real quick on the travel situation, which I've already made much more out of than I should have. I caught my flight early this morning. It was, of course, like we sat on the runway at SeaTac after landing for like ever because all the planes are being iced down.
Mm-hmm.
And so everything is just off. And as I get finally off the plane and into the airport, the lines for people trying to get through security going into where I had just been, I've never seen anything like it. The line went out the concourse into the outdoor parking area.
Wow.
If you
mm-hmm.
can picture that.
Mm-hmm.
Like the whole TSA like waiting area full, that whole like serpentine line.
Yeah, they wind it around even once you're outside the stanchions. Hey, now I'm using it, right? Once you're even outside the
I knew I should have never corrected you.
No, I'm glad you did. I always confuse stanchion and scansion. But I've been there when it's really, really crowded, and they continue to wind you around the staircase. They'll wind you around here. They try to use up every...
Yes.
But I've never seen it all the way out into the parking garage.
It blew my mind. And then, like, I was texting with you, and you said, yeah, they just canceled, like, 150 flights. I was like, those people don't even know they're already dead. Can you imagine?
Oh,
you wait
God.
In that line for like two flipping hours,
oh,
and you get through, and then they're just like, oh, yes, sorry, no, we canceled your flight.
This might be me and Genevieve next Thursday. This is or Friday morning. This is what I'm worried about.
Well, I think based on zero science and research, I think you'll be fine.
I think so, too. I think that they're probably now. I feel like after this first big storm, I feel like they're now almost over-prepared. Like,
yes.
They've canceled 165 flights. There hasn't been a drop of snow yet.
Right. So, remember the other day I was telling you how I had, like, set up a network of rental cars everywhere in the mm-hmm. Northwest. So, like, if the flight gets canceled, I can. So, I am about to take off from Portland, and I realize that I have like two reservations. My phone is alerting me like your rental cars are ready to go.
Mm-hmm.
And I, like an idiot, confused my Portland rental car reservation that I wasn't using with my Seattle rental car reservation that I was using. So I canceled my Seattle reservation.
Oh, God damn it.
And this is just generated by me having eight reservations. I mean, this is where that my plan, this was the flaw in my logic. So I get to the Avis Preferred desk because I am a wizard and I will make no apologies about that status. I don't miss any opportunity to remind people mm-hmm. of my wizard status. So I go
the
down.
The fact that you're wearing a wizard hat right now seems a little bit extra, but whatever.
I didn't have time to put my topic in, so it's more of a vanity thing. I think it looks good.
I got to say, it is a long, pointy hat, purple, yellow stars on it, but what's cute is the very, very tippy top is just bent over a tiny bit.
Uh-huh.
It's a little floppy up there. I love it.
So it's amazing how quickly I become used to some level of convenience, and then anything less than it is just like crushing to me.
Mm-hmm.
So the level of convenience that I'm used to as a wizard is that when I get to the parking area where the rental cars are, my name is displayed on a board and it tells me where the car is. I don't have to wait in the line ever.
Oh, wow.
Which is a major improvement in my life, no joke. And I've mentioned this before. I think I certainly don't pay any money to be in this little club. Highly recommend signing up for these things if you're somebody who travels even a moderate amount, because as you and I have talked at length, Andrew, and as Genevieve would concur on this, There's just nothing worse than waiting in the rental car line. There's something about it because you're so tired. You've already been traveling. It's just like the last thing you want to do. And as I often say, every person standing at the counter appears to be inventing the process of renting a car on the spot. Yes. So
are you talking about the people in the line or are you talking about the people behind the counter?
The people in the line.
People behind the counter are not great either, at least
depending.
In my experience.
Yeah, you guys have had some real trauma around this issue.
Oh, there were some Yelp reviews of lifetimes written, yes.
So anyway, I am used to seeing my name on the board, and as I'm taking the escalator down the stairs at SeaTac, I look over the Avis preferred list to see Messer Burbank displayed, and there is no listing of my name, and I'm like, something is amiss. So I walk over to the little like hut, which is we're outside now, so it's freezing cold. And I walk over, and I have to admit, in the back of my mind, there's a certain indignation. This aggression will not stand, Avis. I'm a wizard. I've rented a car from you. Why is my name not on the wizard's board?
Good. This sounds like it's going to end well.
I mean, luckily I didn't let that go to the front. Mm-hmm. It was in the back. This is a man at 42.
Yeah.
Right. That's going to be the name of my book. So I go up and it was kind of funny because the guy who was helping me, there's no other way to really describe it other than to say he was like kind of bitchy, but he liked me. Mm-hmm. So it worked.
Yeah, like a caddy kind of.
Kind of caddy. Yeah. All I know is that as he's sliding the window open to talk to me, all he finishes going like, that guy's an idiot. Oh, sorry. I was just talking about something else. Like, I came in on the end of a sentence. That guy is an idiot. As he slides,
I think I like this guy already.
Right? Like he's the kind of guy that's going to be your best friend or your worst enemy.
Yeah.
So that was probably also why I moved.
Yeah.
Righteous indignation. I moved that back 2 clicks in my presentation, and I said, "Yeah, I have a rental car, but I don't see my name on the board." And I show him the reservation, and he goes, oh, actually, you canceled this reservation because I had, of course, canceled the one I needed.
Yeah.
I had a beautiful Hyundai Santa Fe waiting for me in Portland where I had just flown from. And I start to get pretty like nervous in this moment because I don't know, like it is, they're canceling flights left and right. People are freaking out. This is like there's a run on the bank, a la It's a Wonderful Life. There's a run on the modes of transportation away from this airport. And I have just, because of my stupid plan of renting 9 cars, I have now taken myself off the list of people who have a reservation at this place. So now I'm like, he's like doing, it's also like the computer systems of those places are so weirdly antiquated, you know, like he's just typing for what feels like a long time.
Yeah, right.
And I'm trying to read his face.
Yeah, it's one of those things. Yeah, cool. What's your last name? Burbank. And then you hear.
Yeah. And it's like, I feel like he could either say to me like, okay, I put you in a Ferrari.
Right.
Or he could be like, we don't have any cars and we'll never have cards. And I need you to give me your wizard number. I need to shred it. Like either outcome seemed like equally probable to me.
Or possibly the computer says, would you like to play a game?
Yeah. So I'm, you know, and I'm like anxious because I want to get up here and do this show with you. I'm anxious because I need to get to KUOW. I'm anxious because I need to get home eventually. Mm-hmm. It's cuffing season, Andrew.
I know. It's what I hear.
So anyway, I start to, and at the time that I'm standing there in the wrong, essentially, on this whole thing, a guy walks up the next window over from me.
You're at a special wizard window.
I am at the little like area that is when you're already out where the cars are.
Okay.
And like if I had not screwed this up, I wouldn't even have stopped there.
Okay,
I would have just gotten the car and left. But because I had messed it up, I needed to now go check in. Mm-hmm. And again, I'm still unclear on if they're even going to get me a car.
Mm-hmm.
And then a guy comes up next to me at the window and he says, hi, my rental car had a flat tire and at the hotel. So I called Avis. And they told me to take a Lyft here and that I'd be able to get a replacement car. Now, let me mention, Andrew, I've returned cars. I've brought cars back because, like, I didn't like the radio stations on the preset.
Yeah.
Like, it's a thing with rental cars. They're pretty chill about, like, you bring one, you know. Like, I've brought rental cars back for all kinds of dumb reasons or changed or upgraded or whatever. This guy had a pretty legitimate claim. His rental car had a flat tire. He called the company. They told him what to do. And so he says, so I'm here to get my other car. And the one guy kind of like goes, well, I don't know. Let me check with Michael. And he looks over at my guy. Mm-hmm. And Michael goes, oh, I didn't authorize any of this. Mm-hmm. I didn't authorize anything at all. I need that car here. I can't give you another car until you have that car here. And the guy's like, I did what Avis told me on the phone. He's like, you need to call them and have them call me and like authorize this. And
no,
I can just see this.
No, that's not how customer service
that's
works.
That's not how any of it works.
That's not how any of this works. Because you do not tell the customer to then call the national number again and be stuck in the on hold tree.
And the guy is like, the guy's taking it remarkably well. Like, I would have already been.
I don't like your guy anymore. Can I say that? I started very pro-positive Luke's customer service rep. I'm very anti him right now.
I would say it was not his finest moment, but here was the weird part. He and I were bonding over how great our relationship was, even as I saw him making this guy's life a living nightmare. Mm-hmm. And I was complicit. Mm-hmm. I was just like winking and nodding like, yeah, we cool, right? Yeah. You're still getting me that car, mm-hmm. right, Michael? Even though this schlemiel, who all he did was follow the exact instructions.
Oh, and he's full of rage.
I could
right
feel
now.
His anger building, his righteous anger, because he was like, why would I be here
right.
if they didn't? Why would I be here if they hadn't told me that this is what I'm supposed to do? And so then they're like, you have to call the number. And they're not like being apologetic. Like,
oh my
we're
God.
So sorry about the confusion.
What is with these people?
Please, you know, like this is our bad, but there's no way around it. You just have to call the number. I am so sorry. I know it's annoying, but if you could do that, then I can just authorize. Like, there's a way to talk somebody through this when you know that you're in the wrong. Again, let me mention it. We're standing in 20-degree weather.
Yeah.
So the guy's now on his headset calling the 800 number, and he's like, yeah, I'm at the counter. They told me the da-da-da-da. And he goes, and then I can hear the person on the phone is not being helpful, and he's like, why would I be here? He goes, I would be at my hotel, warm. I'm here in the cold trying to get this car.
Oh
like, this
God.
Guy has done nothing wrong in this equation. It comes down to something called a two-way tow, which my guy, my homie, Michael, is like, incensed that this random customer doesn't understand the principle of a two-way tow, as if, right? You want to know what a two-way tow is?
I have a feeling it has something to do with cuffing season.
Yeah, it does. It's part of the dark web.
Yeah. No, you want a two-way tow? I get you a two-way tow.
With nail polish. So, like, it's the tow truck is supposed to come to. Oh, let me throw this in. The guy had waited over an hour for Avis to tow the car. They could not find it.
Freaking pissed off right now.
They couldn't find a tow truck because think about it. It's like it's a snowpocalypse.
Yes.
I use that term with a certain amount of sarcasm. But like, so what happened was this poor son of a bitch, he's at his hotel. He comes out, his rental car has a flat tire. He calls Avis. They try to get a tow truck. No tow truck materializes. After like an hour plus, they tell him, just take a lift to the airport and we'll work it out. He gets there. They're like, no, sir, you have violated the rules. You were supposed to wait for a two-way tow. A two-way tow is where a tow truck comes to Avis, tows a working rental car to where your broken rental car is, leaves the working car, picks up the broken car, and tows it. Side note, flat tire.
Yeah.
Tows it to the... And if unless this delicate dance is performed, this guy is not leaving with the car. And I can just feel this guy getting
mad.
And
he's probably responsible. In their book, he's probably responsible for the book that's along the side of the road
somewhere. He has basically stolen a car from them. I know, right? So this is all going on. I'm sorry. I'm screaming into the microphone. This is all going on, Andrew, as I'm still a little unclear on if I'm getting my car.
Mm-hmm.
So I don't like – I am just – there's a million analogies I could use. I am just like the middle child in this, just like trying to kind of stay out of everyone's way, trying to stay out of the fight that is inevitable. Mm-hmm. And like – but
you're just coloring in your coloring book.
Right. Trying to stay in the lines,
yeah.
Trying to be the good kid, trying to ingratiate myself.
Uh-huh.
Because I still don't know if I'm getting a car. And sure enough, weirdly, as Michael's annoyance with this guy builds, his, like, again, his sort of affection for me grows, which is like a very bizarre dynamic. But and if I were a better person, I would have said, sir, you are mistreating this customer, and I will not accept your Jeep Compass rental with four-wheel drive BT dubs unless you... you know, give this man his due or whatever. I didn't. I was just like, when he finally gave me the keys, I was like, yes! I was so excited. And I said to Michael, thank you very much. And he's like, no problem. I got you. And I was like, good luck today. It's going to be crazy. He goes, it's already starting. Mm-hmm. And he was kind of referencing to the other dude. And I was just like, I got to get out of here before... this shit goes like to a place of maybe violence. So I get my little slip. I walk to where my car is supposed to be. M10. No car in M10. Man. And I'm like, I can't go back to that counter. Yeah. That might be like, I don't want to know what's going on at that counter right now. It is mm-hmm. not going to be pretty. Mm-hmm. I was like, so I find this random lot attendant from Avis. And I'm like, please, sir, this is the car I'm supposed to have. Where is, like, do you happen to know where it is? And this guy, God bless him, this guy's working at Avis in a rental car lot. I'm assuming it's not a super high paying job. This guy was awesome at his job. He was like, oh, hold on. He was like, first he was like, you got to go see Michael in the hut. I was like, I can't.
Thank you. Michael's
TLDR. I can't go back over there. It's very dangerous right now. But I was like, can you just help me find the car? And he's like, oh, you know what? It's a Jeep Compass. Okay. He's looking at the slip. He's like, I think I remember they moved it. Like, this dude remembered where all the car, this is an enormous, like, multi-level rental car operation. This guy remembered where a random Jeep Compass had been moved to. Mm-hmm. And he was like, I think it's over here. He walks me over there. And then he has to do something in the system on his little handheld deal where it, like, because I wasn't getting it from the right spot, that was going to be a thing. This dude saved me from having to go back to where I assume that guy is still screaming at Michael even now as we do the show. So anyway, I came out on the lucky end of things this morning and was able to get here, and I'm very excited about that. But I feel bad for that dude, and I do feel like I kind of sold him out. I was a turncoat to my fellow Avis, and by the way, pretty sure the guy was a wizard. He definitely knew his stuff.
You think so?
He seemed like,
you don't treat a wizard like this.
That's what I'm saying. That's really what I've come to talk about, is how to treat a wizard and how to not treat a wizard.
That's right. When they came for the wizards.
Yeah, indeed. All right. So that's my story, and I'm sticking to it. What happened to you at the grocery store?
Now, it's not as my story does not have as much tension built in, but I did think it was kind of funny. Yesterday, I got done with the show, got done with some work. I had some afternoon work that it was on my radar, but I'm like, you know what? They keep on talking about this snowstorm. I hadn't been paying that close attention to the news. I just knew there was supposedly a snowstorm coming. I'm like, I should probably just take a break now, go to the grocery store. We need some things anyway, and maybe in case the snowstorm is bad, get some fundamentals like beer and cuffs, and broccoli. So anyway, so I did that. But then as I'm leaving, this little area, this sidewalk area that is on the property on which I live, it's not the outdoors, not the, you know, city sidewalk, has been very, very treacherous and icy and everything. We hadn't really done anything about it because we don't have a snow shovel and we don't have any salt or ice melter. I guess you're not supposed to use salt anymore. Bad for the
sediment. That's what got I'm getting myself warmed up for today's appearance on the Weekend Review. Mm-hmm. That's apparently what got Greg Nichols unelected as mayor, because when he was mayor, there was a big snowstorm, and at the moment there was a pushback because of environmental concerns about salt, and they were telling him just use sand, it's fine.
Oh, okay.
And he
right.
used sand. The city used sand and nothing melted, and everyone was screwed for like a week, and he got drummed out of office. And the Seattle Times mentioned drolly today, now the city salts liberally.
Yeah, right.
Like, bad deal if you're Greg Nichols.
Well, that's kind of what Veeves was saying. I said, I need to get some salt. I said this a couple of days ago. I got to just salt our walkway out there, which really I feel like our landlord should be doing, but whatever.
Yeah. I'll get Michael on the case.
They're kind of hands off, and kind of like I don't know. I like to be kind of hands off with landlords as well.
Sure.
My relationship with landlords is a lot like TV Tales' relationship with American Public Media. I just try not to remind them I exist too much.
Right.
I just want everything to go smoothly and I'll handle
it. We get our paychecks. They get their shows.
Right.
Everybody basically leaves each other alone.
But anyway, as I'm leaving, I'm like, I got a little bit of time here. Basically, my work in the afternoon was to write the newsletter, which is always kind of a thing that I can just like do as late as I want to. So I always kind of enjoy my Thursday afternoons because I can just like be like, get done what you want to get done. Then you'll come home and you'll get cozy. You can cuff yourself to the newsletter. So anyway, I go to the grocery store up the I go to the hardware store up the street to see if they have any de-icer, and I park and there's a sign on the door. We don't have any de-icer waiting for the shipment to come in. So I back up. I'm like, I'm kind of bummed. That hadn't occurred to me. I'm like, I didn't realize there'd be a total run on it, but I guess that makes sense. I'm like, should I drive all the way to Home Depot? I'm like, it's like a 15-minute drive. I'm like, yeah, I'll do it. So I drive all the way to Home Depot. No icer.
No,
de-icer there.
Really?
Yeah, yeah. So no de-icer anywhere. People are buying shovels. I'm like, no, I mostly wanted the de-icer. So I just go back to the grocery store, and I'm thinking, like, boy, this city really is, like, you know, you can make fun of a city like this, for like Seattle, for not being able to handle the weather. You know, I'm from the Midwest and spent a lot of time in New Hampshire. But the thing is, like, there are just practical concerns, or just practicalities of living in a – it's not just, Seattle can't handle the weather. Like, it doesn't make economic sense for hardware stores to stock up on years and years and years worth of salt if it's going to snow once every 2 years. Like, this was unexpected, generally speaking. I mean, and so – and that applies to, I think, the city as well. It doesn't make sense for the city to have 400 snow trucks like Cleveland. Right. Because it's a waste of taxpayer dollars if you're not, if they're going to be just sitting in a garage most of the time.
What phone number would you call if you were trying to requisition a snowplow?
I know that that's a Homer joke, but I can't think of Mr. Plow. What's the number? 1-800.
1-800 Mr. Plow. That name again is Mr. Plow.
There we go. Anyway, so now I'm starting to feel like I just am starting to get this feeling of like, oh yeah, this city is really kind of starting to, I don't know, show, it's starting to untangle a little bit. Yeah. I just get this weird feeling.
Yes.
You know? And so I'm like, okay, I'm going to go to my local grocery store right down the street from me. I'll circle all the way back around. My first mission was not a success to get the ice. So I go to the grocery store, and first sign, so there's an outdoor parking lot for my grocery store, Safeway, but then there's a little ramp you can go down to park underground. And I'm an underground parker. And the first thing I notice is the outdoor parking lot is really filled up. People are already, like, kind of parking in spaces that aren't spaces, which I'm really chill with. Like, whatever. People do their own thing.
Historically, like, hey, not an issue for you.
I had a lot of polite cars. And then the ramp that I take to go down to park underneath the store is blocked off. And I'm like, did they close the underground parking and that's why there's so much traffic here? I'm like, oh, no. It looks like they closed that off because they couldn't melt the ice on the ramp. It was a safety issue.
They had gone to various hardware stores.
Exactly. And I'm like, oh, it's icy. So I actually leave the parking lot. I go back around on the street, and I go to this kind of back doorway of getting into the parking garage underneath. And I'm still sort of thinking, well, I'm sure the spots outside were really filled up, mostly because people think the garage is closed. So I go back around, I go outside, I come into the garage. The garage, same deal. Like, packed like I've never seen it before. People inventing parking spots. Luckily, I find a regular spot. I park. I go, this is like noonish on a Thursday. And I go upstairs. I find one grocery cart for myself. People cannot find grocery carts anywhere. The place is packed. But here's the weird thing. So I'm like, wow, this must be all just people preparing for the storm. There's plenty of food and everything. Everything seems pretty well stocked, but the place is teeming with people. But the place is teeming with old people. older people, and then some people who are just like, you don't know how they're getting around because they're so hunched over, they're just looking down all the time. Like a couple of people like that, it looks like they're using their carts to stay up. I'm not trying to make fun, but I'm just right. Like, is this like because older? I'm like, well, it makes sense that in the middle of the day, people like me, podcasters and old people, are the right. only people who can go to the grocery store. But it's just a very weird experience. I don't know what's going on. I get the stuff I need. I'm like, well, I guess I'm glad I went now and not like in the after work hours, because then it must be a zoo when everybody gets off. I get my stuff and then I go to get into a line, but it is such a shit show at the checkout lines that you can't even tell which line goes to what. It's just a mass of people that are trying to carve out lines. Like, it's the grocery store is not built for this amount of people. And I get in one line.
This is when I shoplift.
Yeah, I ask
BT Dubs. I'm like, good luck catching me, coppers.
I only need to buy one thing today, and it's a giant trench coat to cover up all the rest of this stuff. And so I get in one line. Now I'm probably going into too much detail, and I even look around. I'm like, nobody's in this line. This is the end of this line here. It looks kind of short. And everybody's like, yeah, go ahead. It's fine. So I get in that line, and I'm there for about 30 seconds before a woman comes up to me and kind of taps me on the shoulder. She's kind of an older lady. And she says, you're about to make the same mistake I made. This is a 20-item or less lane. And I've got a giant grocery cart. Not giant, but I've got a lot of stuff. And she said, that's 20 items or less. And she's like, you probably want to get behind me. And I turn around and she's way down an aisle, like where these lines are going way down the aisles.
Oh, no.
And I'm just kind of like, okay, thanks. But I really appreciate it. This woman like saw me get in this line, left her cart and came way up and said.
I mean, look, she wasn't doing you a favor as much as making sure that her leaving that line was not for nothing. Now, it sounds like she was in the right, and it sounds like you took it really in the spirit intended.
Because,
but like,
there's a chance that I would have gotten to the front. I mean, I don't know.
They're not going to arrest you. They would have just let you through.
They probably would have let me through, but I wouldn't.
She was, like, not letting you zipper merge. She was enforcing the rule of the 20 items or less. But
I guess. I mean, I could have. She said I was in that line, too, and then I saw the sign. And I think that – I honestly think she and I are just rule followers. Mm-hmm. I think that – because I would be mortified to be at the front of the line and realize it.
Right.
And so I think that she must just have the same mentality. And so she thought she made a mistake. That was how I took it, and that's how I choose to take it.
Sure, of course.
Because I could have just been like, I'll try my luck, lady, and then maybe that would have been different. But I got behind her, and I'm just like – as I was shopping, I saw this Michigas at the front of the store. So I knew, I was just like, listen, you're lucky that you have, that you don't have to rush back to produce a show somewhere, or you're not on a deadline. You have a phone that has.
And you have food with you. You can eat this.
I have plenty of food.
You won't perish in the line.
I have the entire World Wide Web in my pocket. Yeah. I will just find something to read. I'll check email, like whatever. I'm here, you know, and sometimes you just got to do that.
Yeah.
And so I did. I got behind her. I thanked her and we joked around a little bit about stuff. But then she said to me, she's like, yeah, this is like kind of the perfect storm, so to speak. She's like, everybody's shopping for the storm, but it's also senior day. I'm like, what is senior day? And she's like, oh, we all get 10% off. She's like, up until about noonish, but usually the seniors kind of come and go, and it starts to like clear out by 10 in the morning because they're seniors. You know, get up early, do your shopping. So it was some sort of it was confluence, the right word, or I guess perfect storm of people storm shopping, but also it being senior day, which explains why there were so many. Which, by the way, I hope I don't sound like I'm speaking down about the fact that it was senior day. I had so many great conversations because it was so crowded.
Oh, these people are moving at your speed, honestly.
Oh, these people are my people, man. Yeah. There were so many times where it was so crowded that like I almost like kind of got into those situations where you're leaving a lane and somebody hasn't seen you and there's a blind spot and you almost crash carts or whatever. That happened like 3 times, but instead of some like punk just like giving me a dirty look, it's like another old man who's just kind of like, oh, hey. Like I had 14 like great conversations around that. I'm going back during senior day from now on. I loved it. But it was really weird, and it wasn't and then I was like, wow, that was strange, and I told Genevieve about it, and again, I guess I'm lucky that I got all my stuff, because and maybe this is where things do become a little laughable about the city panicking too much. Then I'm going to bed last night. I went to bed kind of early, around 10:30, and I open up Twitter, like you're supposed to do right before you go to bed, and I'm just flipping through.
Just a little relaxation.
You must have seen this. My timeline is just filled with nothing but photos of just completely empty shelves around Seattle. It's like apocalyptic out there. Have you seen these photos?
I've actually heard of them, but I have not laid eyes on them yet.
It was I wasn't searching for them. It was just like everything in my timeline was like Capitol Hill stores, North Seattle, South Seattle, just like these, just I was even thinking like, how is literally every yellow onion taken? Didn't like one person, or didn't like one runty little yellow onion get left behind? But apparently Seattle just wiped clean every single grocery shelf,
because this real feeling of like, I mean, it started, I think, I mean, the weather is what it is, but what Carrie sent me earlier in the week was this extremely dire prediction from Cliff Mass, and he's a kind of, if there's such a thing as a sort of controversial meteorologist, I guess it would be this guy, and so that really got people freaked out, and it's just been building since then, and I am a very, you know me, I'm the guy with 40 items just going like, I'll take my chances in the 20 item line.
Yeah,
I got a story on something kind of a cousin to that. I've told enough travel stories. Remind me someday to tell you the story of my mild run-in with a guy on an airplane yesterday. But anyway, I'm the kind of person who's usually just bull charging through life, RIP Newman, and I ignore like weather warnings. I'm like, it'll be fine. Even I am kind of like getting a little stressed out about this. Like as I'm driving from the airport up here this morning, I switched to Como. I'm listening to like, I'm like, this is an all AM news kind of morning.
Yeah.
I don't, you know, peace and love. I don't need to hear NPR in DC doing interview about some political matter. Mm-hmm. I need to know like just the nitty gritty on every, and that's when those like kind of monotonous droning AM news stations are just worth their weight in roofing commercials. It's just like just main vein it. Mm-hmm. Just give me the early release of the Bethel School District.
Right.
Do it.
Yeah.
Let's do this.
Put
Manda
it in
factor.
My veins.
Seriously. Give me that good, boring, local weather-related coverage that I literally care about once every 3 years.
I want traffic on the threes. I want traffic on the sevens.
I mean, like, seriously, show me a jam cam. I am extremely here for this. And again, it's like what the thing about those stations and all of the kind of breathless breaking news coverage around weather that annoys me is that 90% of the time it's kind of about nothing. Mm-hmm. And then once in a while, it actually is about something. I can't quite figure out if this one is a something burger or a nothing burger.
So far,
have you tried the nothing burger at Whole Foods, by the way? You would not know it's not real meat.
I will say it's very expensive for a nothing burger.
But it's getting to me. Like driving up here, I was like, ooh, this is like this KUOW show that I'm about to do is from noon to one. And like I'm looking on the weather app and it's like starting at like noon, 90% chance of snow. And I'm like, I'm going to be kind of a small spoke in this wheel of this radio show who's going to be, you can't actually see outside from the studio, but were I able to, I would be like looking at the snow thinking, can I leave early?
Right.
Like,
yeah.
How do I get on the road? And like Carrie's like sending me gifts of like people, for, you know what I mean? Like she's like, I'm worried for you. And
just slide Balter your list of jokes and be like, you can handle these, right? I'm out of here.
Yeah,
you handle the D segment.
Yeah, exactly. So it's weird because all of this, the run on the stores and emptying everything out and everybody freaking out. I'm usually very like, get over yourselves, people. But this is the one time where I'm kind of like, I'm expecting to be like, I can't think of the movie comparison, but I am imagining that I am going to get up to my house in Bellingham, like as a massive wind/snowstorm is enveloping everything behind me.
Mm-hmm, right. Yeah. Like in an action movie, you're like, instead of outrunning fire, you're outrunning ice.
It's like the Mummy. I feel like there's a sand/scarab storm trying to consume Brendan Fraser. And then that's me. I'm going to get to the house, close the door behind me, keep the weather at bay, and then Carrie and I are going to like cuff it up for some like power Netflix watching. And like she's already bought a bunch of food. I've been like texting her about like what provisions do we have. Now
I'm texting her now telling her that you just said that you and her are planning on cuffing it up because I don't know that she is aware of that. I think she should know.
Can you not ruin this for me, please?
I'm looking right now. I mean, already the predictions have been knocked down from, like you said, you saw something that was predicting 14 inches yesterday, which I knew that was. Now they're saying 4 to 6, which is still a very big deal for this region, which can't handle snow because of the reasons we said before. But I honestly think that because of the, like, I just had this little notion yesterday, like, oh, I should probably go to the grocery store, just get some provisions just in case, and I have the time. And then last night, seeing these apocalyptic photos and everything, I am now more coming around to, I just have a feeling sometimes the world works in this way. This is going to be nothing. I just sort of feel like it's going to be nothing. We'll see.
Well, the update from the home front is that we have some frozen pizzas, a few cans of soup, some homemade soup that's left over, some veggies and quinoa. No offense, but that doesn't sound like, that's not,
quinoa?
That's not cuffing season food.
No.
And then also cheese and crackers would accept. And then some Topo Chico and O'Doul's.
Mm.
What beer drinkers drink when they're not drinking beer.
I bought some summer sausage yesterday. I got some of that. I felt like a real bad boy. I tweeted about it. Eating summer sausage in February.
Wow.
Try to stop me.
Don't tell the Hillshire Farms folks.
And also, this is a very weird thing. And you mentioned it, alluded to it at the beginning of the show. I have this weird thing like, I just got it in my head last night that I'm going to buy an iPad today, and I don't know why. Not even
this
an
is
iPad.
So funny
I think
to
I'm
me.
Going to get a Galaxy Note. Actually,
this is the sound of us not getting to this story about
Delta.
We don't
have time.
It doesn't matter because as you and I were sitting down, you said something to Genevieve that kind of shocked me because, like, I don't think that you're paranoid about the storm, but I also think that you're somebody I know who doesn't force things. I actually admire this about you, like. Normally, my guess about your behavior would be, we're finishing TBTL. There is possibly a storm bearing down. Not the day to go get a piece of electronics if you don't have to.
Yeah.
And yet you were like, well, if it's not snowing yet, I'm going to go up there and get it. And that felt like the kind of move I would pull. And you're pulling it potentially. So you wanted to get this tablet device, or you're going to get this tablet device.
I think so. This is where I'm weird. And speaking of pulling things, I don't even know how much to pull this thread because I don't know if it's going to go anywhere and I don't know how to explain myself. And we need to wrap this up because
yes.
You do have to head over to KOW. But I've been wanting a new iPad for a long time now. I've mentioned on the show I can't play Hearthstone on that anymore. So I have this old laptop that is literally – did I tell you I literally burned my legs the one day? I couldn't understand why my legs hurt so bad.
Oh, my God.
And I had put some sort of sunburn on my leg through my pants because my old laptop was churning
away
trying to play Hearthstone.
Well, if you were ever reconsidering children, I think that made the decision for yourself.
I have some unprotected cuffing in my future.
Believe me. Those guys will not find purchase. You have sterilized and neutralized.
I want to call the show unprotected cuffing, but I feel like going back to this idea that let's just not draw attention to ourselves too much. But so I've been wanting this iPad for a while, and I just keep putting it off because I feel like I want to be the person. I have this thing about big purchases. And, you know, when you're talking about an iPad or Galaxy Note, you're in the high hundreds, low thousands, right?
Wow. I actually didn't know that.
The thing like
– I assume those things, I'm not kidding, were like kind of – not free, but see, I don't understand tablets, and I know there are some tablets that they just give you when you buy a bigger computer. Those must just not have much processing.
Yes,
and
I need a lot of processing for. But then I feel guilty because I'm like, I cannot if I'm mostly using this thing for a gaming thing.
The old
like that,
ball burner's still working.
Yeah, and I just like it's really hard for me to justify it. But then I get into a mode where it's like I've been talking about this for a long time. I did a lot of work over the holidays, so I'm a little bit more flush now.
Right.
Like this is the time to do it.
Sure.
And so then instead of spending all of this time worrying and fretting, I should have been doing research and really learning what. You know, like Genevieve is good at making bigger purchases and then she doesn't feel bad about it. And right now I'm kind of like, I want to buy an iPad today. I want it before my trip to Hawaii. I want to watch movies on the plane. Like I want to have this thing. But now I'm thinking, well, my phone's been cracked for a while too. Maybe I should go to T-Mobile and see like, should I buy it through them and then I get a phone and a tablet deal? And then my brain starts spinning out of control and I'm kind of like, no, but I just want it now. I don't want to go into T-Mobile and figure out and then go through all this double talk and them saying, oh, well, this is a special discount if you do this until the end of the process where I'm paying. And
we
I'm
have
like,
to
I
charge you $1,000 a month, but we give you a voucher for $3,000
exactly.
a month. So
yes.
we pay you $2,000 a month.
It is so much double talk. And then I'm like, well, but really, I should be researching. If we have a relationship with T-Mobile, I should go to the T-Mobile store and maybe see if I buy these both. But I'm like, I don't want to buy both. Like, then my brain will break because I can't like go to a store today and buy a new tablet and a new phone. That just seems like way too much. And also, I kind of don't want to take a new phone on vacation.
Right.
I want to take my old phone. So if it falls on the beach or something, like, you know, I don't want to.
Yeah.
So anyway, that's where my brain is right now. And part of me is just kind of like, Walsh, I'm just so irresponsible about this. I worry about the big purchases, but instead of researching it, right now I'm just in this mode where I'm like, I'm just going to rush out. I need to do this before I think about it too much. I'm just going to rush out of here, beat the storm, go to Best Buy, get my new toy, and then if we do have to hunker down and cuff this weekend, I can do it with my new iPad type device. But
what if it's senior day at Best Buy?
It will be when I get there. Anyway, that's not a very good story, but I don't know. It's
no,
just like, I'm really weird about these big purchases.
I know that feeling to some degree to carry chagrin, not to some degree, very much so to carry chagrin. Do you know that the car that we bought, Tig the Tiguan, I didn't realize until we'd had the car for a month or more. I didn't even know it had a third row of seats. I don't think either of us knew.
Because you bought that real. Your other car died really quickly, so you had to act quickly.
It was,
but like you,
it
went
was exactly,
on, you went on a test drive with it.
It was
right?
exactly the kind of thing you're talking about. I don't regret the purchase at all. Mm-hmm. I like the car, but it was like it was a thing where there was like an end of the year deal. It was literally New Year's Eve that we were doing
That's
this.
That's right. I saw you later that night.
Carrie had test driven the car and liked it. There was a deal to be had. They agreed. This is. Very boring, but they agreed to like buy the burned out wreckage of the other car that we had, the Audi, and ship it up to where we were in Bellingham. So it was like, and we got
Wait, ship what up? Ship
the car,
the new car.
Like we didn't have to do anything else with
okay.
the car. They were basically going to buy the car sight unseen for parts for a few grand,
even though they're a different company. or a different make.
Well, they also have an Audi at the place that we were at.
Oh, yeah, that makes sense.
Because it's all this. Actually, V-Dub owns Audi, for the record.
Oh, they do. Oh, I think you've told me that before.
And so
that's
all of it, just, it was a kind of, but really, I'll be honest with you. We there was a point where I was like, we can agonize over this for weeks or months, and also and only have one working car in that period of time. Or we can just make a decision, and then we don't have to make the decision anymore.
Yeah.
And the idea of just being done with it.
Yeah.
Because I had blocked out. This was my vacation weeks, and I was like, well, this is just going to be, that's what I'm going to be doing the whole time. Old J.D. Power and Associates.
Uh-huh. Right.
Like, and then it was just all of a sudden like, but then there's a world where I don't have to think about that. And that was a very attractive world.
Yep.
And so we just did it. And there was like a bunch of things. Frankly, there were some things about the car that the salesperson told us that turned out to not even be true.
What?
Well, like, I thought that there was like those like beeping sensors when you get too close to something, which we had on the old car, which are super helpful.
Yeah, we don't have that on our car. We have a rear view camera. We also have a V-Dub, and I was wondering, you know, I wonder if we have a rear view camera, we must have the beeping sensors. It must just be turned off somewhere, but maybe V-Dubs don't have that.
Well, if we had gone up a trim level, we got the middle range of the car. Had we gone up to the nicest version of the car, it has that. And I asked the saleswoman, I said, does this have that beeping thing? Because it is incredible how quickly my ability to park a car has atrophied because of the chimes, those tones. Like, it's like a very smart design. Your brain interprets sound in a way that's really helpful. Like, I could park the Audi without looking, just based on the frequency of the of the beeps.
So through echolocation, that's
exactly.
Is that how you're doing with a new car now? Without the beeps, you're just rolling out the window,
clicking.
So
that was kind of a bummer because we were told that it had that, and it ultimately didn't. She was kind of new on the job too. The person who sold us the car, whatever. Point is, wasn't apparently fully clear on how many seats are in the car because I go to Lopez Island to go on one of my nature walks, and I'm putting on my muddy boots to go on the walk, and I go, this is interesting. The trunk, I go, what is this? What is the bed of the trunk made out of? And then I pull on something. I go, oh, it's made out of seats.
Oh, look, there's a salesperson back here,
too. Oh, my God. Lily, are you okay? What are you doing?
How long have you been here?
So I guess that's my way of saying, don't beat yourself up too hard about your tablet purchase. I got a $30,000 tablet I'm driving around that I didn't even know how many seats there were in it.
Well, I guess, I mean, I don't think it's that interesting, but I will report back on Monday. Because part of me now is just like a child where I think, like, it'll just be fun to have this toy this weekend, you know? And
it's cuffing season.
No,
it is the perfect weekend, though.
Yeah.
You may be trapped here. You can dink around with your boot boops.
Exactly.
I support this. But again, I'm a terrible person to ask about this.
Here, let me tell Genevieve that you support this. No, Genevieve, by the way, is not like Genevieve.
I heard the conversation.
She's like, just buy it.
Genevieve
just, like,
is me.
She's just like, do it.
And you are Carrie.
Well, Genevieve is you, but she does do, well, maybe you do on some things too, but Genevieve is a very careful buyer of things. Uh-huh. Like, she does a lot of research. Tons of research before we bought that car, went to various lots. Like, I did nothing except show up when she
I guess
up.
What I mean is I could hear in Genevieve's voice a lack of anxiety around you purchasing this tablet.
Yes. And I think also, again, not to get into, but because I worked a lot over the we were just like, okay, we sold a house.
Right.
Basically, like, we sold a house right now. Like, I know that you don't just sell the house and buy a bunch of tablets with
no,
it.
No, that's
but
what
like,
they say. Starve a cold,
right.
Feed a fever, buy a house, buy a tablet.
Sell a house, buy a tablet.
Yeah, that's it. That's exactly
and
right.
So, I don't want to make it sound like I'm a spendthrift right now, but like any family, you go through tighter times and whatever, and right now it's kind of like, yeah, we can do it right now.
Can
so
I
don't,
just honor your proper use of spendthrift?
Oh, did I say it right now?
You did.
Oh, okay.
It's,
yeah.
I've like
did I just say that word? I talk so fast sometimes my brain doesn't even know what
and
I'm saying.
And you used it exactly right, I believe.
Okay.
Right, because spendthrift actually means spending a bunch of money. I always thought spendthrift, because it has thrift in the title, was about being thrifty, but being a spendthrift actually means you're not being thrifty, and you used it exactly right. You said, I'm not trying to be a spendthrift, which means I think you were trying to say, I'm not trying to be wasteful with money.
I'm literally a little bit brain blown right now that I just said that word and I don't remember saying that word.
What's the definition of spendthrift?
You're right. A person who spends money in an extravagant, irresponsible
way. Spendthrift.
You used it exactly right in a sentence and it was exactly the word that you should have used in that moment. I've misused spendthrift so many times in my life because I always thought it meant you're being cheap.
I'm like Charlie Brown when he finally kissed the red-haired girl. This stuck in my brain as a kid. Talk about blowing my brain. Like, do you remember this? I guess it's classic, right? He finally kisses the red-haired girl at some point, but he passes out from excitement, and then he has no recollection of it at all. So it gives him this total existential crisis at the end of one of these Charlie Browns. Like, but if I kissed her and I don't remember it, what's the point of kissing her? I feel like I just used a word right, and I have no recollection of it. So what's the point of me using words correctly?
Here's the point. This weekend, you, your new tablet, and a well-worn recording of this episode. You go back, you listen to it,
yeah.
Relive it.
It's like, listen to me just nailing these 10-cent words.
Exactly. Let's, before we do some music for your weekend, let's thank these donors of the day.
Thank you, baby.
They're the people making the show possible. And they are Chris Gleam of Reno, Nevada, the biggest little city in the world.
Oh.
Roger Harbison of Corvallis, Oregon, home of Oregon State University. Nicholas Knutson Braddock of Seattle, Washington. Michelle Rundy of Mountain View, California. Corrine Reese of Florence, Alabama.
We know
Corrine. I'm going to guess. Oh, Corrine, excuse me. Corrine the baker?
Corrine is the baker's mom.
Ah. Thank you, Corrine. Of Florence, Alabama. And then Laura Talbert of Baltimore, Maryland. Laura, Corrine, Michelle, Nicholas, Roger, and Chris. Thank you so much for making TBTL possible. Thank you for donating to the show. Thank you for spending this cuffing season with us. Financially, from a time perspective.
I'm sorry, guys.
We bought some extra soup. This is going to be a great, great cuffing season together.
All right, I know you know about TBTL, the podcast. You're listening to it right now. But have you tried TBTL, the newsletter? Because you can. Just go over to TBTL.net and click on the button that says sign me up for the TBTL newsletter. I got to say, it's a lot of fun. Every week, Luke and I record a little video that we include in the newsletter. It's called Hey Dummies. We answer your questions, any questions you want to ask us. Well, there's all kinds of things in the newsletter. Don't take my word for it. Here, this is Mary. She's a big fan of the newsletter.
It has a nice welcome introduction, but then you have these phenomenal GIFs that are so much fun. You talk about amazing, wonderful people, and you introduce us to new things. And then the songs of the week. Oh, my gosh. And it just makes me so happy.
It can make you happy, too. I mean, listen, this is coming from Mary. She doesn't even listen to the podcast. She's here just for the newsletter. No joke. So, again, go to TBTL.net and click on the button that says sign me up for the TBTL newsletter. And we'll try to bring a little extra sunshine to your inbox every Friday afternoon.
All right, we should do a little music before, or music for your weekend before we go. I'm very excited. I'm actually very excited about the listener song.
Okay.
Just selfishly, because it's so up my alley. I don't know. The listener who suggested it and me are going to love this song.
Okay.
I don't know about anybody else.
I'm intrigued.
But that's coming up in a moment. First, though, what are you enjoying? Oh, can I just tell you?
Yeah, go ahead.
Real quick. I know we're trying to wrap things up. Last night on Livewire, we had a writer named Hanif Abdur-Raqib, and he's written a book about Tribe Called Quest. Well, it's really about hip-hop and a lot of things, but it centers around the band or the group Tribe Called Quest.
Mm-hmm.
And we're talking about music on stage, and I was asking him about kind of trying to expand your musical taste, one's musical taste, as one gets into middle age. And I said, I'm listening to the same four records. And he goes, which four records?
This on stage, a lot of pressure from
a music guy. In front of a huge crowd. He's
a cool music guy.
A cool music guy. And I'm just like, oh, God. So I just like stupidly name a few things that come to mind. And now, of course, I've spent the subsequent 18 hours.
I know.
With new albums. Like, I wish I would have said this cool thing.
Yeah.
And so that'll haunt me for a while.
My music, by the way, is something I'm Googling on the fly here because I know nothing about them. They came into my their new single came into my inbox yesterday, I think. The band is called Barry, B-A-R-R-I-E. Have you heard of them?
I do not think I have.
I'm Googling on the fly here. There was an article last year from Fader magazine. I think you'll like this headline. Meet Barry, your new favorite dream pop band from all over the world.
Oh, yes.
Let's see. They're Brooklyn dream pop band debuting a single. Okay, anyway, this is their latest. It is called Clovers. Okay, that's Clovers by Barry. I was just reading a little bit about them. Five-member band, got together in New York, but they're from all over the world. Boston, New York, London, Brazil, Baltimore. And they apparently all got – one of them was actually recruited for the band through Tinder, apparently.
Oh,
haven't
wow.
been around for too long, about a year now or so.
I love that.
That's a great song, right?
Yes.
That's a good music for my weekend because I'm now very interested in seeing what the hell else these guys have to offer over the cuffing weekend.
That's I'm looking at their Bandcamp page, which is Barry the Band, B-E-R-R-Y, theband.bandcamp.
Isn't that I-E? Should be I-E.
Oh, I'm looking. Turns out there's two bands with that name. Thank you for clarifying. So, yeah, I wasn't looking at their Bandcamp page, but I am excited by that music, and I do want to learn more. Andrew, I knew that you would find this mildly interesting, if only because this song that I'm about to suggest is from Aquarium Drunkard, which is a cool music website, and it's from something called the Lanyap Sessions.
Oh, a little extra, something a little
That's
extra.
Right. And it's a band called Bonnie Doon that I am a very, very big fan of. Did my daughter send me this link? Maybe. Shut up. You don't know my life. Get out of my business.
But last night on stage with your guest, you should have just called Addie and said, Addie, what's my four favorite records?
I know, right? Oh, dear God. Anyway, she sent me this link to this band. Bonnie Doon has an album called Long Wave that I'm sure I've played some of the music from on this show. And it's just a great record for it's a little, maybe it's a little summery, but it's just a good, relaxing album. The album Long Wave by Bonnie Doon. I recommend it. But anyway, this is just some kind of random cover songs they did for this website, Aquarium Drunkard, I believe. And one of them they did, I thought I was clicking on, it's Wrecking Ball, and it's a cover. And I was like, oh, how cute. They did a cover of Miley Cyrus, Wrecking Ball. And I was like, am I going to like this? Is it going to be a little, I can get a little eye-rolly about some of that stuff.
Mm-hmm.
Bluegrass covers of hip hop music and the like, which
it had its time,
and I loved it. I was right there for it. Mm-hmm. But now I'm kind of like, I couldn't have been more wrong. This is a Gillian Welch song called "Wrecking Ball" that I had never heard before. It has nothing to do with the Miley Cyrus song, and it's wonderful.
Do you know this? Is it Gillian or Jillian?
I always thought it was Jillian.
But I don't know. But do you know this record? This is off of?
No.
I was just, because I know I had one of her records. I don't know if I knew this whole one, but I know two songs by her that I'm in love with. And it doesn't make sense that I don't listen to her more often, but there's a song called Look at Miss Ohio.
Yeah, that's a great one.
And One Monkey.
I know the Look at Miss Ohio song.
The One Monkey is in the kind of same tone. Those two, just looking at the titles, I'm right now being like, why am I not listening to Soul? The name of the record is Soul Journey by Gillian Welsh. So anyway, that's the source material, which I'm very excited about.
So this is Bonnie Doon, they're a band from Detroit, doing a cover of this Gillian Welch song, Perfect Music for Lanyap Season. This person at Aquarium Drunkard, who I don't see a name associated with this, so apologies if I'm not crediting the right person, but this person says, Bonnie Doon, that's this band, Bonnie Doon's pace is like the Mitch Hedberg joke. I'm sick of following my dreams. I'm just going to ask them where they're going and hook up with them later. That's such a good joke. Then it kind of goes on to a talk about how Mitch Hedberg's delivery and Bonnie Doon's are both kind of seem kind of mellow and slackerish, but it belies a lot of craft behind it. So anyway, I love these guys, Bonnie Doon, and definitely check out this interview they did in Aquarium Drunkard, and also check out Long Wave, which is another album by them. That brings us to the listener suggestion for music for your weekend, and that also brings us to the end of this broadcast week. So thank you, everybody, so much for listening. Thank you for helping make this thing possible. And there's so many ways that you guys do that. We were talking about it yesterday, I think. It's like the listening to the show is a big one. The donating to the show is obviously huge. The telling other people about the show, the rating us on iTunes, just coming to live shows, sending us emails. There are a million ways that that you find folks interact with us and basically make this whole thing possible. So thank you. Thank you so much. The listener suggestion, as I mentioned, this is a song that I love. I don't know if anyone else is going to care about it. It's very atmospheric. Listener, Shandor, the name is spelled S-H-A-N-D-O-R, but then parenthetically it says pronounced Condor with a sh.
Okay.
So that would be Shandor.
Yeah.
Shandor says, hey, I've been enjoying this song a lot lately, a totally hypnotic groove. It's by a band called Bell Game. The song is called Only One. I love this. I'm going to go.
Did you know it before this?
Nope. Had not heard of it, but it is very much up my alley. I love this kind of, I said atmospheric, but I don't even know if that's technically the genre. What I know is that I was loving this song, and I'm going to investigate and find out more music by these guys.
Hey, dude, know how long the song is? It's 420, dude.
Oh.
I just noticed that.
Nice. Got a minute. Wait.
Nope.
Because I don't smoke weed. I'd like it to be 421. Most unfun guy.
I would like to just get past this whole 420 thing.
Hey, what time is it? 420. You got 8 minutes.
Yeah.
I'd like this to be a different time. Anyway, this is music courtesy recommended by a listener, Shandor. So thanks, Shandor. Thanks, everybody, for listening. We'll be right back here on Monday with more Imaginary Radio. Until then, stay warm, stay cuffed, keep your lanyaps close. And your senior citizens closer. And please remember, no mountain too tall.
And good luck to all.
power out,